personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Well, it's a good thing there's not as many pick'em picks this week, Dal, for us to have to break down, because it's been a bit of a busy news week in the world of sports. First of all, I believe our first episode last year had to do with the recap of the national championship game. So
Have we really been doing this that long?
So this is sort of kind of the 1 year.
We have not.
Yeah, it was the Georgia win over Alabama. That was our first episode, was we broke down
night after.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm going to be dead really soon. If time's going that fast, I'm like that end of the toilet paper roll where there's just a few rounds left.
And here we are a year later, having experienced a much less interesting Georgia championship game. Poor TCU.
You know what, though? Everybody's whining about it, and everybody's turning into a armchair selection committee. So what if it wasn't close? That's the game that was played out, and have people forgotten?
They beat Michigan to get there. I'm not trying to imply TCU didn't
and I'm
belong.
Not saying you're doing anything. I'm just saying I've seen a lot of videos of people making, you know, saying, yeah, good thing we didn't have, you know, Alabama in the mix or this and that.
Well, first of all, no one wanted Alabama in the
mix.
Well,
they lost. See? That's how elimination things work. You lose and you get done. That's how it goes. People also want to act like championship games are always close. We've been spoiled lately. I think people have forgotten for like 15 out of 20 years there in the Super Bowl, the game was not close. It was a blowout. It was always a blowout.
I actually literally just got into a debate, too, about, I believe it was while that game was being played, with my group chat of various Bears fans, and some of them were whining about, see, this is why I wanted Ohio State in there, Michigan, or Michigan
Screw
versus
Ohio State.
And this was their reasoning. I went, actually, I'd rather just have this game be boring and have two teams that I like be in it or can tolerate, then I have to. And their reasoning, someone actually responded to that with, oh my goodness, Feely over here always would rather have his own personal agendas than watch an interesting game. And I said,
so would they. Don't let
yes?
them fool you.
Obviously. And then, because then I said, I think my response was, well, you guys aren't as big a college football fans. What you're basically saying is like going up to an NFL fan and saying, I wish the Dallas Cowboys had been in it so that it would have been closer.
Yeah.
And they said,
ridiculous.
If I was promised a good game, I would take the Dallas Cowboys in a Super Bowl. I said, the good game means nothing to me. All that matters to me is that whoever I want to win wins. They can win by 104.
And see, I look at it as it is. That was the matchup.
If nothing else, though, and it probably won't because people just really hate Notre Dame, but can we stop trying to discredit every time Notre Dame has ever made the playoff with, oh, look at that, Notre Dame got beat by 31 by Alabama, ha ha ha. But TCU just lost by 107 to Georgia.
They only lost by 58.
By the way, both other times that Notre Dame made the playoff and got blown out in round one, the team they lost to won the national championship and beat their opponent in the national championship by more points than they beat Notre Dame by. Happened both times. Both times. Not one single peep about, well, you know, Clemson beat Notre Dame by 28. Then they beat Alabama by 38. Alabama didn't belong in the playoffs at all. It's always just Notre Dame that gets the crap into this.
I am a very big believer in just things work out as they work out. I've spent a lot of time researching history, sports history, locally mainly. But here's the thing. It is what it is. It's not what you want to try and make it. And that's been the problem the whole time.
If it worked the way I want to try to make it, you would see the most biased sporting leagues in all of human existence in every layer.
But what I'm wanting to say is it shouldn't be this room full of people determining, well, this is what we think is the best. No, the play on the field determines that. you should be talking about marketing and logistics and crap like that.
I understand.
The fact that we've had the BCS and the quote-unquote college football playoff, which is still not, by the way. We are on our way to, it's going to be a 12-team.
It's still technically an invitational.
It is, but at least the play on the field has more say than at the end, where it's like, okay, we determined this is the best team, which is how it used to be.
I think it was my dad who made the joke about why we can't really stand most of the Olympic sports, and we're like, I think the problem is that they're all judged. Judge sports are lame. There's no point system. And he goes, imagine you watched that Patriot-Rams Super Bowl and Vinatieri drills the game-winning 48-yard field goal and they're all celebrating, and then three judges walk down onto the field and said, you know what, actually, after we watched the film,
it was really close.
The Rams were the slightly more impressive team, so we've awarded them the win.
And it said, and this may not be as funny to you as it is to me, but that damn East German judge. Well, see, when I was growing up, till I was in junior high, the Berlin Wall, and East and West Germany, and the East German judges were just a-holes. And it's like, well, of course they are now. But at the time, it's like, man, those guys are always just, and gals, they're always just, you know, messing things. Yeah. But you know what? I watched the whole game. I was pulling for TCU. If I would have bet money, my money was on Georgia, and my selection was Georgia.
Yeah.
But I did think it would be closer than that, to be fair.
On top of that, something that affects Bears fans, I think Washington at this point should be good on taking any wide receivers in round one. You got Dotson, you got McLaurin.
Yeah,
it's not really. Last year it was. This year, though, the Bears are obviously like team number one on everyone's list of teams that desperately need wide receivers going into next year. One of the big names that was a borderline first-round pick, top of the board, was Quentin Johnson from TCU. And kind of the knack on him was, well, he's fast, he's tall, he can jump, he's got great hands, he has all of the skill set to be an NFL wide receiver and a good one. But for whatever reason, he just doesn't produce at like his numbers aren't that wow, but he makes these splash plays, and if you could just polish him up, which has never been a huge like thing that catches my eye. I'm not a huge fan of, look at the raw talent, you just got to polish him up. Like, well, if he's not good at football, why would I want him on my football team? He's a great athlete.
Well, one of the issues is your, and I'm not saying the Bears aren't, but I'm just saying, is your particular franchise good at polishing things? If they're not...
Not wide receivers.
If not, maybe you should take one that's more ready to play now.
But then the question became, well, and on top of that, TCU played, and I know... Obviously, you've been even more TCU supportive than I have. I just liked them because it was fun, because we've never seen them before.
They were picked 7th in the Big 12. And they got to play in the national championship.
It was the shiny new toy to me. Kind of like the Chargers being in the playoffs. Like, oh, we haven't seen that for a while. I like that, because I'm not bored of it yet. But they played a bit of a weak schedule. We're barely winning games, and people said, well, now Quentin Johnson for scouts, not for the game. What's he going to do against a team like Georgia? Can he showcase himself as an NFL first rounder, put that athletic talent out there against he had one catch for 3 yards.
Is that all he did?
He had nothing.
There was another receiver had over 100 yards for TCU, right?
Yes, Davis, I think.
Yeah.
Not that it mattered.
You're right, it didn't.
But yeah, so TCU, great season. I hope that TCU fans aren't going to take that. There should really be a difference. Like if Alabama or a Clemson or a Georgia loses the national championship, it's expected that they're like, oh my goodness, we were so close. This sucks. I hate this. TCU, I hope that their fan base and their alumnus and their team and everyone still feels like, well, you know what? Heck, we made it to the national championship game, and we're TCU.
If my team had done what TCU did this year, I would never shut up about it.
Well, if Wyoming makes it to the national championship game with the way that the voting system is set up.
Exactly. But with the college playoff expanding to 12.
Now that it's at 12.
They're going to have a chance to do. Think about this for a second. The Green Wave.
Mm-hmm. Would have made the playoff under 12 teams.
Would have made the playoff.
Would have gotten clapped by Georgia, but they would have been in there.
They were pretty damn good, though. I mean, everybody was kissing USC's butt for weeks and months leading up, and they handled that. They beat them.
They did.
But I'm looking forward to those types of things.
What's the matter, TC or USC?
And as a Wyoming
bowl
fan,
win?
And as a Wyoming, hey, shut up! My team lost their bowl, but
mine didn't.
But I. If I was going to, say, you derailed me here. Sorry.
My USC hate will do that from time to time.
But as a Wyoming fan, I know that at least now, you know, I'm not looking for an unreasonable access to the national championship.
No, but you
what
could be rewarded
is,
for a great
what
Wyoming
I'm saying
season.
Is if we are the best group of five, which I don't really like that terminology, but that moniker, but that's what it is. But if we are the best or one of the best group of five and we get into that, we have a shot. Mm-hmm. As of right now, zero shot.
I'll also say this. Obviously, Notre Dame is my primary team. That's who I root for. I like to see Illinois and Northwestern doing well.
And Illinois had a nice season this year.
Illinois did have a nice season. They wouldn't have made the playoff. But in a nice little season, trailed off at the end. Northwestern has occasionally made it to the Big Ten championship, had no chance of winning. This makes me feel like, okay, Illinois and Northwestern could, if they have a 10-2 season, could get in.
Yeah, surely. Certainly.
Sure, that's fun.
There's always going to be teams that say, we should have got in. The proof of that is the NCAA basketball tournament. Mm. I mean, every year they have a whole show on who got snubbed. Well, tough crap. Win more games then. You know, and that's coming from a guy who's...
That playoff has 64 teams in it.
Whose team barely made the tournament last year. So I just... And doesn't make it very often. But anyway, rounding back to the national championship, we talk about TCU and belonging and... And maybe, you know, they're not going to have really fond memories of it for a while. But, oh my gosh, can we first off, let me preface this but before I get too far. I think Stetson Bennett's story is really cool. I like the idea that he was a walk-on. He won the Burlsworth Trophy. He was told... He was told, you're not good enough. He was benched. He comes back and wins. I mean, it's that right there. If he does nothing else in football in his life, what he's done to this point is incredible. It's one of the best stories ever. That's my preface. Hold on one sec. But these people coming out after this game and kissing his butt and acting like he is some kind of Joe Burrow clone. No, no, no. So I saw a video, and it said, what NFL quarterback's making this throw? And it's a throw where he launches it down the field, and the guy's wide open. And I wanted to respond and say, none of them, because no one's ever that wide open in an NFL game. But he wanted, like, credit. Like, oh, wow, what a gutsy. It's like, it wasn't gutsy, he was wide open. And there were other throws in that game. First off, the tight end for Georgia.
He's nuts.
Holy Moses. He's like he's like freaking Goliath. And he throws him the ball and then he rumbles and catches it and they go, wow, there's another big play for Stetson. No.
No, Brock Bowers kind of carries that offense.
Dude, and there was what I'm saying is there were plays in that game where Stetson Bennett would have led or put the ball in a more accurate place, he'd have had 6 touchdowns. Or he'd have had 400 yards. I'm not saying he didn't have a great game, but please calm down with the Stetson Bennett NFL. That guy's not, again, I love his story. I prefaced it. He's not going to do anything in the NFL.
So that reminded me, I keep giving him credit for little tiny jokes, but I think it was my dad again, who we once were talking in the car about, isn't it funny how a player gets to the NFL. And if they get to, like a Tony Romo, let's say. Tony Romo gets nothing but lambasted by, like, Cowboys fans and people.
They bitch, moan, and complain about him all the time.
And my dad goes, can you imagine?
They didn't even waste a draft pick on him.
The different story that would be Tony Romo to everyone that knew him if he just never got the starting job in Dallas. If he just played 5 years as a backup and retired. Yeah. And his story was, remember how good Tony Romo was in high school? And then he went off and he won a national title at Eastern Illinois. And then he even played in the NFL a little bit. Oh, that dude is a local legend here in Illinois. And he goes, oh, but sorry, you accidentally started games and were competent, so you played a while and didn't win any Super Bowls. So now we hate you.
And had a borderline Hall of Fame career.
Isn't that just so funny, though? Like, these guys that would be worshipped in their hometown if it wasn't for the fact that they then became an NFL starter and now all of America hates them for what tiny mistakes they make here and there.
And again, this is not a slight on Stetson Bennett. What Stetson Bennett does in the NFL when he gets there is his business. Mm-hmm. It's his money. In fact, I hope he becomes the Colt McCoy of the NFL in that he is signing contracts every other year because he's smart, he's capable, and he's not a starter, and he makes about $50 million over his career. I hope he gets filthy, stinking rich.
He could be every bit as good as Chase Daniel is in football.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So, yeah, Chase Daniel's actually who I meant to say there. What I'm trying to say is me saying he's not going to do anything in the NFL is not a personal slight. It's just that
you and I have done nothing in the NFL.
He is going. Here is his career trajectory from this point. He is peaked, and that's pretty damn good.
I'm close friends with a Georgia fan who has spent the last 3 years whining about Stetson Bennett, which is one of the funniest parts. That he's like, if we would just play, I forget the name of their backup quarterback, who's apparently a much more athletic guy.
Exactly. Maybe he should work a little harder, and you know what his name is. But what I'm saying is here's Stetson Bennett's trajectory from this point. He's going to get drafted by someone, or not, but he will make a team. He will play backup for a team, probably several, anywhere from 2 to 5 teams in his NFL career. It will be less than 10 years, and he will be back being an analyst for college football, most likely doing games.
We call this the Matt Leinart trajectory. Yeah,
but most likely doing games east of the Mississippi, probably maybe not quite SEC right out of the gate. But look at him. Unless he's an idiot, which he's not, he could be doing he could be doing college analytics or analysis for college games at the SEC for 25 years. Mm-hmm. He has the credentials to do it. Don't feel too bad that he's not going to go win a Super Bowl as the starting quarterback for some team, because he's not.
I was about to say, you know what I can almost compare it to now that I'm thinking about it? At Notre Dame, one of my favorite players, my favorite quarterback I ever personally watched at Notre Dame, just because he was my guy, because I begged for him to play when he was on the bench his freshman year, Ian Book. Winningest quarterback in Notre Dame history.
You are an Ian Book fan.
Ian Book was my favorite player at Notre Dame. He's been a backup ever since he got into the league. He's been on and off practice squads. Occasionally he gets to be the 3 or the 2 on the active roster. And no one says a word about Ian Book. Nope. So I get to just keep being a fan of Ian Book. There's nothing wrong with him. He was the guy who was really good at Notre Dame. And that's what we'll remember him forever for. On the flip side of that, I'm starting to see across national media, maybe you are too, but here in Wyoming, you got a guy named Josh Allen out there. Suddenly, he's like, what is he, like 25? And people are already starting the narrative. You know what, actually? Is Josh Allen overrated? Is he one of the most overrated quarterbacks and blah, blah, blah? I'm like, what, the kid from Wyoming?
Which is funny because, see, as someone who followed him right from the beginning, you know, it's funny to watch people turn on him because, he threw some red zone interceptions. And you know what? Guess what? That drives us crazy, too. Because we've all adopted the Bills. We've adopted the Bengals because of Logan Wilson, these Wyoming players, but especially the Bills because of the high-profile nature of what Josh Allen is and what he's done. But it's like, are you serious with this? It's the same people who said that he couldn't be successful in the NFL, which is funny. People are like, you just said Stetson Bennett couldn't be. I'll tell you what. If Stetson Bennett has half the career of Josh Allen in the NFL, let's see. What's something I can do that's really embarrassing? I don't know. You call me on it.
The most humiliating thing of all.
It's just, anyway, but yeah, the thing is we've all become so obsessed.
You have to buy a Dallas Cowboy jersey.
Ooh.
You have to spend your own hard-earned money on it.
Wear it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty terrible.
It says Bennett on the back.
Yeah, whether he plays for him or not. That'd be awesome. Okay, there we go. Okay, now it's on there.
Your brother, the Cowboys fan, gets to take a picture.
But I look at the, it's the same people who like begrudgingly, yeah, I guess he's pretty good. Those are the first ones that are like, well, look at the holes in the armor now. He's not doing it. He threw for 4,200 yards, almost 43. He threw for 35 touchdowns. He ran for, well, I'm going to have to look that up.
He won me 3 fantasy championships this year.
He won me 2, and I've never won any of them up until then. There's the trophy.
Yep. I hope everyone could hear me slamming it down. We're thinking of potentially going to a video for our YouTube channel next week. Potentially, Dal.
You're going to be gone.
Next week?
Didn't you just say you're going to be gone?
Saturday I'm going to be gone. In Grace, Idaho.
No, for our Friday show.
Yeah, that's,
oh, that's
on
something
Friday.
Different. Sorry.
Dal crossing up all the shows now.
Hey, I've got more.
Truly unfortunate.
I've got more mileage on my brain than yours.
It's been a full year since we started the show. Dal is senile now.
Why can't I find the full stats?
Josh Allen had a really good year, is essentially the point.
I'm
that
just
we're
trying to
here.
Find his rushing, because that's a big chunk of his game. And he's the second leading rusher.
He's the leading rusher on his team.
He's actually second.
Oh, did Cook pass him?
Singletary had 819 yards. Josh had 762.
So he had 5,000 total yards this
right.
year.
And he rushed for
And he didn't
seven
play
touchdowns.
In a game.
Yeah, and he didn't play in the game that was canceled.
Oh, sorry, that one too. Didn't he miss one game? Keenum started a game against someone.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
That was in 15 games.
So, anyway.
So, yes, even if he's, well, he's not as good as Patrick Mahomes. Okay, so he's, what, at worst, the third best quarterback in the NFL? Like, literally at worst?
And quite honestly, I would take him over the others because I'm biased.
That's me telling you that I would take him over prime Tom Brady just because he's Joe Burrow.
but yeah, the argument that people jump on these guys and...
It's just funny to me.
It's all fantasy football related. It really is.
Well, even if it's not. I just always think that's funny. The guy who's probably been the guy his whole life gets to the NFL making him the guy. Until he makes a couple of mistakes in the NFL, and then everyone hates him. It's the funniest thing. Like, oops. Well, sorry, you accidentally got slightly too good.
If Josh Allen ever wins a Super Bowl for the Bills, no one's ever going to remember anything else.
No. For instance...
Although he is on... I will say this. He's on pace. You have to argue. You have to agree with me on this. As of right now in his career, if he continued on this pace, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yep. Probably.
Period.
I mean, if you're a top 5 quarterback for 80% of your career, right. you go to the Hall of Fame. But yeah, for instance, I had a neighbor when I lived down in Hillsboro, Missouri in high school whose claim to fame was that he was a 2-year starter as a wide receiver for Mizzou. He never made it to the NFL. He just played some wide receiver for Mizzou.
Which is amazing.
And he was like a local celebrity when he'd go to like... That golf league that everyone was in. But imagine if he then went to the NFL And he like dropped a pass in the one game he got to start or something. And suddenly he was like the most hated man in whatever Miami Dolphins history. And oh, that guy sucks. I hate that. Perspective is a funny thing.
It is a funny thing.
As we continue with a few other things, I kind of mentioned earlier that I'm like, man, it's kind of the playoffs are always fun. Because they're the playoffs. And even if the game sucks, there's an atmosphere around, ooh, it's a playoff game, that just makes it feel nice. But man, every round one matchup for these wild card playoffs is a rematch from the regular season. Mm-hmm. A couple of them are divisional rematches.
Some of them that makes it a good thing, and some I think it makes it a bad thing.
Yeah, I kind of just like fresh matchups in the playoffs. So it's fun.
Before we get to picks, though, we do have to go over headlines. So, yeah.
Please. Okay. So, please. A couple of those that I was about to mention. To make them slightly more disinteresting, no Tua Tagovailoa, probably no Teddy Bridgewater. We're getting Skylar Thompson against Buffalo round one.
In fact, that's what this says. The headlines, yeah, they're prepping Skylar Thompson to start at quarterback in Buffalo.
Do you remember what Buffalo did to New England last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well,
and then on top of that, you got Bengals Baltimore, and at first I thought, oh man, this could be a real trap for my Joe Burrow Bengals. They got to play this team 2 weeks in a row. That's not safe. This could be, you know, trap game watch. Lamar Jackson still not practicing, still very likely out. He's doubtful at this moment to play. Looks like Tyler Huntley for the Baltimore Ravens.
And this is actually might even be a little more new compared to what you've read. In addition to Jackson not practicing, this is according to Jameson Hensley of ESPN.
Is Huntley not practicing?
Tyler Huntley did not throw a pass during media viewing portion of Wednesday's practice.
Goodness.
Dealing with tendonitis in his right shoulder. If they can't play, do you want to make a guess who will start?
Because you know Aaron Brown again?
Oh, you're such a nerd. How do you know this?
He just played.
Oh, wait, no, it's Anthony Brown.
Anthony Brown. He just played last week.
Who paid attention to that? I didn't.
Joe Burrow was playing. Of course I paid attention to that.
All right, so yeah, undrafted rookie Anthony Brown would start. So, ouch. Yeah. You know what?
He was so bad last week.
Still not as bad as Nick Foles' Colts bad.
After that whole rant we just went on, we just join in with the mob immediately. Down with Anthony Brown. Down with Nick Foles.
We're not saying down.
You suck, guy who was probably the local legend in
undrafted
his community golf
guy
tournament.
Playing in the playoffs for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah. I never claimed to not be a hypocrite on this show, I guess.
Yeah, we're a hypocrite in the same sentence. Sometimes it just happens. So, yeah, those are some headlines.
And then a non-football-related massive headline. This one kind of breaking as of yesterday. I'm going to get back onto my professional wrestling hat. I'm going to dust it off. I don't break it out that often, but
Stephanie
here we go.
McMahon. I
resigned.
Saw
this. Do you see why?
No.
It's not official yet, but they have agreed in principle to the sale of WWE. Vince McMahon is going to sell what is currently a publicly traded company back into the private sector to the Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund.
Oh, wow.
The Saudi Arabian government is going to own WWE in 3 to 6 months. This is the most shocking news out of the world of professional wrestling.
Is the Iron Sheik going to be the new...
And the poor Iron Sheik from Cleveland, that guy was.
Is he really?
Yes. Made to be like the most detestable. They're like, look at this guy. He's basically a terrorist. He was from Cleveland. Anyway.
Which is bad enough.
The poor guy was already from Cleveland. Give him a break.
It's interesting because there's a part of me that doesn't want to be like against people doing what they want to do for their business. But at the same time, how in the hell can you sit there and profess to have such an American product and then have it? It's really like that LIV golf thing.
95% of your legacy was built on the back of Hulk Hogan waving an American flag.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan beating the crap out of the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff.
Even just on top of that, some other thing. I mean, even if if apart from just that, first of all, Vince McMahon is about to be in his 90s. Do you really need the extra couple billion dollars that badly at this stage in your life? When you have two children, you could have just given the company to?
I hate it. And I'm like, I don't even think I consider myself a casual fan. I'm not even that much of a fan, but I hate it.
Vince is so dedicated to not letting either of his children inherit anything. By the way, this is a company that his father, Vince McMahon Sr., just handed to him for free on a silver platter, which has made him these billions of dollars. He will not do the same for his kids. At least Shane owns a broadband company, which, by the way, I always giggle at this. Shane McMahon gets a higher salary as the owner of his broadband company than Vince does as the owner of WWE. So his son, who owns a vastly less famous company, makes more money from it. I believe it's the largest broadband provider in China. That'll do it. But anyhow, that's just funny. But yes, the other question for me as someone that watches on weekly TV is, what effect will this have on weekly TV? You have this difference in, you no longer have a board of directors you have to answer to, so this means whoever's in charge of creative, whether that people believe that Vince will now be given that spot back after he gave it up to Triple H, Paul Levesque, for those of you that would just like his normal name.
Nobody knows his normal name.
No
but
one
you.
Does. he would no longer have to answer to anyone, essentially, because there's no longer going to be investors. He could just do whatever he wants on weekly TV. That could be good, that could be bad, that could be whatever. My question is, they already do events in Saudi Arabia, and there are certain things that are not allowed at those events because of Saudi Arabian culture and law. First of all, no women's wrestling. Not allowed. Second of all, certain performers are never allowed over at Saudi Arabia. One of them's name is Sami Zayn. He's a Canadian, but his ancestry is from Syria.
Oh, geez.
Which means he is banned. He's not allowed in Saudi Arabia. He's unfortunately the most popular wrestler in the most popular storyline they have going right now on weekly TV. If Saudi Arabia takes over, is he fired? Is there still going to be women's wrestling? I don't know. What happens on week-to-week TV?
If I was, I don't know, if just looking at your core pro wrestling fan, they're not going to like this.
Nobody likes this.
And you could see where all of the main characters basically just said, we quit.
Yeah.
And then went and formed their own thing.
Well, there's also, of course, AEW, which has been up and coming, that Shadiq Khan's, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, son operates that one. Huh. AEW, which also has its own 2-episode-a-week weekly TV show on TNT. This might be the best thing that ever happened to Mr. Tony Khan. He's rubbing his hands together. He says, ooh, just, the death of...
I just don't like it. And I don't like the
LIV... It feels icky, doesn't it?
And I don't like the LIV golf thing either. Mm-mm. I don't like any of that.
First of all, I mean...
How can you bitch about gas prices all year long and then support those things?
Yeah.
They fill their 50th supercar with gold piss from some
and that's not even getting into the part where their government admits to straight up murdering reporters in embassies because the reporter says bad things about the government.
They throw certain people off the tops of buildings if they do things that they think they should not be doing. I don't know how you can sit there and complain about the United States economy and support those things, knowing that they are run by people who wipe their ass with $100 bills. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how you can do both.
It is upsetting, but it's big news. Had to share it.
It is big news. I didn't know about the whole Middle Eastern thing. And
everyone has already come to the thing about Stephanie resigns 30 minutes before that purchase is announced. There is no way those two things are unrelated.
Oh, of course they're related.
There's not a chance those two things aren't bing, bang, boom. Apparently, there was also reports being leaked to national reporters that Stephanie resigned because she was going to vote against it and decided it was going to be easier to resign than have to vote against her own dad.
See, I actually think if Stephanie McMahon wanted to make a power grab and drop all this and then reform and call it the WWW, I don't know. I can't get away with that one probably, but I just... I think people would jump to it. I really do.
Never forget that WWF had to change its name to WWE because of a panda.
Right.
That's the funny... the World Wildlife Federation.
I just... I don't know. It's amazing how fired up I got about that.
That was just such a shockingly bizarre thing. That
it is.
And we still don't know what it's going to really mean. Like, that's the big thing, is we won't for like 3 to 6 months.
But that's my issue. What if nothing changes, at least at first, and they just make the money on it?
Yep.
Doesn't that irritate anyone? It irritates me. I don't even spend any money on it.
You know, there is a part of me that thinks to myself, man, what's worse? My hard-earned $5.99 every month that I spend on Peacock to get the pay-per-views going to Saudi Arabia? We're going to Vince McMahon. You know, it's a tough one.
So I guess that's a good point.
One of them would cut your throat right here and now for looking at them the wrong way.
And the other,
one kills reporters.
And the other one is the Middle Eastern people. All right, are we ready for pickup?
Yeah, we'll go. I don't know how many points I'll be able to try to make up this week, though. Considering
you're screwed.
This truly feels like, I mean, what is there, like 2 toss-up games? Maybe there's more. Maybe well, you'll disagree
with,
on all of these.
Especially with what we've talked about. I mean, let's be honest. A couple of these games are already decided. one of which, Seattle at San Francisco. You know what? Seattle could win.
No one here
possible.
Is mathematically dead. I'll say right. that. As lopsided as I think. The odds of, because this is how I'm phrasing everything from now on, because we've been burned too many times on this stupid show. But yeah, Bills, Dolphins, Bengals, Ravens. Oh, it's a backup quarterback. We've already seen the backup quarterback, and he sucks. Anything could happen. Josh Allen could Gus Frat himself after scoring a touchdown, and then it's Case Keenum. Who knows what's going on?
We don't know. This first one, for example,
I'm still taking the 49ers.
Brock Purdy could come out and throw 3 picks.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
It's a divisional game.
Yeah, we don't know.
He's already beaten them twice. You know how hard it is to beat an NFL team 3 times in 1 year?
I have a feeling
not as hard as people say.
I have a feeling they're going to do this pretty easily, but I'm picking the Niners.
That's always my favorite. I just used it ironically, but every time this happens, an announcer will say, you know, it's really hard to beat a team 3 times in 1 year.
It's just announcers speak.
Did you know that of all the times that's ever occurred in an NFL season where a playoff matchup has featured 2 teams in which one has swept the other, the team that swept them in the regular season has won something like 11 out of the 12 that it's happened?
So in other words, it's easy.
Apparently, it's not quite as hard as you're making it out to be. Anyhow, I get a feeling we're both taking the 49ers in this one.
Yeah, I picked them.
May I just say, by the way, that it is hilarious that Geno Smith broke Russell Wilson's...
I think it's awesome.
It's just one of those things. To me, this is the passing equivalent of when Robert Quinn broke the Bears' single-season sack record last year. And I went, isn't it just weird to think that of all the pass rushers in Bears' history... Of all the great moments in Bears history from these pass rushers, that the guy who has the record is no longer Hall of Famer Richard Dent, but instead is some rent-a-player that we had for 2.5 years, and he was bad for 1.5 of those years. And so here's Seattle, who goes, man, remember Jim Zorn? Remember Matt Hasselbeck? Remember Russell Wilson? And Geno Smith is our all-time single-season passing yards record holder.
I hope... Someone got rich. Well, we know Geno's going to make more money, but the idea that if someone out there had a prop bet that he was going to break the franchise record for yardage before this season, The odds on that had to have been just ridiculous.
Speaking of ridiculous odds, someone made $87,000 on a 6-bet parlay.
Wow.
It was for touchdowns. He picked like 6 different players. He's like, all of them will score a touchdown today. And he turned $250 into $87,000.
Wow.
I think it was something. It was like Stephon Diggs, which,
obviously,
fine.
That's not a hard one.
But then it was like some backup running back. It was Devin Singletary. It was Kenny Galladay, who didn't have a touchdown all year.
Yeah, all stinking year.
And this dude, all 6 of them. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
That's why I don't gamble.
I want to know how many times he gave that a shot, like throughout the how much money he lost before he finally made it big. Coming up next, my main event of the weekend.
Yeah, this one's interesting.
This is why my phone will be off while I'm at Grace doing that basketball game, so that no one texts me. I don't get any updates. I do not want a single sport, because I'm coming home and I'm watching this as a recording.
Just make sure you get the game on, so that we're not like, Aaron, the game's not on. Why aren't you answering?
It's because I'm watching Chargers Jaguars on my phone instead.
Yeah, I think you'd get in trouble for that.
I've gotten fired like 3 hours earlier, and I'm still just sitting there in a high school gymnasium with Chargers Jaguars on my phone.
This is an intriguing pick, because a lot of me wants to pick the Jaguars. They're kind of the...
Do it.
The woohoo team. They've got a couple Wyoming players that play for them. Chad Muma, Dewey Wingard.
Trevor Lawrence got bailed out a little bit against the Titans.
Yeah, the Jaguars defense won that game. And I guess that's what kind of makes me nervous here, is I don't know if they've got another one of those in them. And I really do like the way the Chargers play. I like Justin Herbert. I like Austin Eckler. I think I'm going to pick the Chargers.
I am also picking.
But I'm going to have to cheer my butt off for Jacksonville.
Oh, I am going to be cheering for the Chargers too, but that's purely based on for my whole life, I just liked the Chargers better than I've liked the Jaguars.
The Chargers are more set up to win this matchup in a shootout.
And plus, considering that, spoiler alert, I've got the Bills and Bengals both picked in their matchups against third string quarterbacks, considering that game is in my brain going to be happening in round 2, I need whoever is better set up to beat the Chiefs to win this one. I don't know if it's either of these teams, but I just slightly trust the Chargers roster more than I trust Jacksonville's. Jacksonville has a promising young quarterback. Their running back's explosive. I'd argue the Chargers are better at both of those positions and have a better defense and have better wide receivers. This, that, and the other. Plus, they've played Kansas City twice, lost twice. It was like a 3-point game. Plus, twice.
It just feels like they're surging. It feels like they're. It feels like we haven't even seen their best game yet.
Herbert versus Burrow AFC title game, baby. Let's put it down
no,
now.
No. Don't be a jerk. Do you know how much damn snow the Bills have had to shovel this year, and you're not even going to let them get to the AFC Championship?
Well, I would have if they could have played the Bengals there, but the Bengals have to eliminate them. I am sorry.
No.
Joe Burrow. I'm going to pick Joe Burrow in every playoff game he plays for the rest of time, just because he's Joe Burrow.
Well, I'm doing the same thing with Josh Allen.
Which is fair. Did you see Joe Burrow's quote, by the way, after the game in Baltimore? And someone said, do you feel like you've jumped into Cincinnati here? In the midst of their Super Bowl window, is this the window that you're looking at? And Joe Burrow's response was, the window is open so long as I'm playing. As long as I'm here, we have a Super Bowl window.
I love it.
I love you, Joe Burrow. You're the best.
Very Aaron Rodgers-esque.
How dare you?
It's true.
I will now be doing the rest of this show by myself.
Whatever. You're happy. He's not in the playoffs.
Illinois legend Kirby Joseph owns Aaron Rodgers. It's the greatest
thing
ever.
And your team has the first pick for the first time since post-World War II.
No, for the first time ever.
I saw 1947.
I guess
modern draft.
Yeah, I've been told numerous times the Bears have never gotten the first pick in the draft.
And see, I read it in multiple places that it's the first time since 47. But again, it's not like football draft was the same in 47 as it is now.
People used to decline being drafted in 1947. Well,
heck, even in the 70s, they just chain smoked in a room full of typewriters and made phone calls.
anyhow, my prediction right here, right now, and what I'm rooting for, the Bears are not going to be picking first overall. But we have the first pick in the draft. I have heard that right now, I'll see if I can pull it back up here, a number of teams that are presumably interested with multiple first-round pick packages. Oh, I am salivating. Multiple? I mean, even if it is just two. You think I won't take that? We can turn the first overall pick in a year when we're not really looking at a quarterback into multiple first-round picks. Let's see if I can scroll back up here. This is what's being reported. Las Vegas. Atlanta. Hmm. They just took a quarterback in round one last year. Unless they just really like Will Anderson or Jalen Carter or something. Carolina. Fine. And Tennessee are all considering multiple first-round pick packages plus more to move up to number one. Hmm. And then the report also says, also, sneaky team to watch, don't count out Houston trying to trade up one spot.
If Houston trades up, they should be mocked relentlessly.
If Houston, I don't even care
they
if we get
had
any.
It. They had the pick.
I don't even. Again, though, that's not the GM. The team and the GM, unless he literally goes downstairs and says, all of you better just take a knee on every play. Because the team's going to try to win. All the GM can do is try to gut his team as best as he can. So I'm not going to blame Houston for winning the game because that's what they're supposed to do. Also because it helped the Bears. But and here's the big thing. I think that that actually increases what the Bears can get because they have the leverage not just of, oh, well, you can get one of the three quarterbacks. Now
you know that the Texans are right there too.
Now you can say, now you get the quarter. Houston's not going to steal the one you wanted. You can get any of them. And I actually think that's a bigger deal than we fans think it is to these GMs because we all think, well, there's three. You can get any of the three.
No, they want a pick.
GMs are so picky about, I want the one.
Which is exactly
number three.
Which is exactly why all this talk about, there's been some talk about Washington maybe firing Ron Rivera and moving on. And I'm like, nothing like that's going to happen until the ownership thing gets solved.
Yeah.
Because the new owner is going to come in and want to do what they want to do. So why would you change something now?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, we are completely off our pick'em rails.
That's fine. We'll just keep rolling. We're only at 40 minutes here.
But you pick the Chargers?
I am picking the Chargers. Okay.
As he fondles his trophy.
Yes, staring at it lovingly. Houston has picks 2 and 12. If they wanted to, and I know we could maybe get more from someone else, but that would involve future. If Houston said, we'll give you 2 and 12 to move up to 1 so we can get our quarterback, straight up, I'd probably take it if I'm Chicago.
I guess. I don't feel like there's a quarterback worth doing that for this year.
No, but teams are. You don't think there's GMs that are desperate?
Oh, and there is every year. There's GMs that trade up and they overvalue their stuff all the time. I'm glad my team.
Remember the 49ers gave up 2 first round picks and 2 second round picks to go up and take Trey Lance.
Yeah, and that dude.
Someone will give us that for Bryce Young.
And that looks like a complete waste at this point.
Because then in round 7, you got the better Trey Lance.
And not only
incredible.
That.
Incredible.
Again, the dang Niners.
I am so jealous of what they're able to do under John Lynch. Except for trade up for Trey Lance. That was weird.
Yeah, but then they just... Anyway.
But yeah, so I'm salivating at the potential prospects of... I would also really like if it could be someone that is like the Colts or the Texans that we trade back, but only a few spots, so that we get our haul and then get Will Anderson anyway.
Yeah.
That's
what you want.
Option one in all of this. If you can't stay in the top 5, I'm still all for trading back. We are not Will Anderson away from, oh, now the Bears are Super Bowl favorites. We need as many holes filled as possible, get as many draft picks as we can get for that one pick. And then after that, we open up Sunday with Bills Dolphins, right?
Yep,
that's what my schedule says. So that one, too, I will have to watch on record as church doesn't let out till noon. And here in the mountain region, you guys kick off at 11 here.
It's awesome.
Ridiculous. Make me record the football game.
That's your choice. Bills all the way. I would say Bills all the way in this, even if Tua was playing.
It would be. Now, here's one thing. I am rooting for the Bengals and Bills. I want them to win.
DeMar Hamlin might be at that game.
Possibly.
He's been released from the hospital. He's in Buffalo.
Depending on what he's cleared for heart-wise, energy-wise.
But can you imagine what that crowd will be like if he is introduced and shown on the screen? See ya, Miami.
I just said all I'm rooting for is that my team wins, so that's good. But it does add the extra element of, oh, goody, these Bengals and Bills could both win. That's good. They might both be up 35-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
That's
I don't know.
I'll take it.
I'm always wary, but I think Buffalo wins pretty handily.
It's playoff time. It's time to put the I'm really worried hat on.
Nah, I'm not worried. My team's not even in the playoffs. Their December play always ensures that.
Vikings-Giants. This might be one of the tougher ones to pick in this whole playoff.
Here's the funny thing is, I think if it was anyone but the Giants, I would pick them to beat Minnesota. I am not on the Minnesota bandwagon.
This feels like the two most how-did-you-get-here teams in the entire playoff.
But I hate the damn Giants. And so even though I'm actively bad-mouthing the Vikings' credibility to win at home in a playoff game, I'm still
picking
them.
They already beat New York in New York this year.
I'm picking them because I hate the Giants.
On a 61-yard field goal.
That's right,
They beat the Giants, yeah.
I'm picking the Vikings here.
Dang it. I am also picking.
Because I will not pick the Giants.
I don't feel great about my ability to catch you on any points then. I'm suddenly very nervous that we're 7-for-7 picking the same teams here.
I don't know. Obviously, Cincinnati's going to win.
That's what we're picking there. They just beat the Anthony Brown Ravens like a drum.
In Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
And this is in Cincinnati, and they got screwed out of a home game.
No, sorry. Week 18 was in Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
So neither team really had to leave. They just, all right, do it again next week. Very good. The one thing Baltimore has going for them is that I think they have the slightly better coach. They have a Hall of Famer in John Harbaugh, in my opinion. They are not better at literally any other position other than maybe inside linebacker.
Yeah.
Roquan Smith just got paid.
Getting $100 million, by the way.
Yeah, $100 million. So, good for Roquan Smith.
Yeah, good for him.
You want to talk about, you know, and they announced that on Twitter. I always love how fans are. Bears and Ravens fans immediately into Ian Rapoport's replies. Just like a nuclear war zone in there about, ha ha ha, overpaying for a linebacker. No, we got the best linebacker in football. It's you guys who are, blah, blah. I'm like, you could not have drawn up a trade. You know, the classic, both of us got what we wanted. This is fine, guys. You don't need to argue about literally every single thing.
I just think, I'll just throw this out there, a little sidebar on that. If I'm Lamar Jackson, and this guy that just barely got there gets what he wants, mm-hmm. And you still don't, I don't think Lamar Jackson's coming back. I mean, obviously if you're franchise tagged, you're franchise tagged, and you won't have a choice. But
unless they offer him the Deshaun Watson deal and have to cut a couple guys.
I'm just saying, I don't think Lamar wants to be in Baltimore anymore.
I think Lamar should like playing in Baltimore and their system that wraps itself around him so brilliantly. I think at this point it literally just is a matter of he saw what Deshaun Watson got. He said, well, I'm better than him. And I should get that.
And I haven't assaulted anyone.
Yeah. It is the classic problem of, do you deserve to be higher paid than Watson? Yes. But is Watson disgustingly overpaid?
Yes.
Also yes. So now we're in a bit of a pickle.
Anyway, to me, that'll be fun to watch that play out. All right, last game.
The old Monday night wild card game.
I hate Dallas. I don't hate him as much as the Giants.
That is weird.
There's really only that I used to hate him way more. And
I'm not even in that division, and I hate Dallas.
And I like to think that I'll hate him more again at some point. There's really only one person on the Cowboys that I cannot stand, and that's Ezekiel Elliott. I hate that guy.
Did you see Prescott ended up leading the league in interceptions? He missed 5 games.
Yeah, 5. But I have watched too many Tampa Bay games this year where they were just maddeningly inept at offense.
But you know which game?
Just because they got their crap together lately, it's like, I'm just supposed to pick them? Wow, am I talking myself out of this right now? Oh.
They didn't really get their crap together either because they lost week 18 to Atlanta. I'm picking Tampa, though, if for no other reason than their opponent is the notorious choke artist Dak Prescott-era Cowboys.
You know what?
They've already beaten Dallas this year.
I just changed my mind. I had Tampa picked.
Are you picking Dallas?
I'm picking Dallas.
Okay.
I don't think Tampa will keep up with Dallas.
Just so we're clear.
And I think the Dallas defense gets to Tom Brady.
So as if a tribute to our one-year anniversary show here, I remember last year, I believe we had all the same teams picked, except the Monday night wild card game, and I picked the Cardinals, you picked the Rams. Didn't go well for me. Hopefully I get my win back this year. I need it. I need a Tampa Bay victory for no other reason than I just don't like you, Dallas, and I want your fans to be sad.
That was almost just Dal. Oh, I don't like you, Dal.
I don't like you, Dal, and I want your fans to be sad.
I don't like your face.
I just noticed that I've got a 6 out of 7 home team, or not 7, 5 out of 6 home team. Sweet going here.
And I realize I just picked all the favorites.
The only team that I picked in opposition is the Chargers, who are on the road. But the Chargers play every game on the road, so this will be no different. That's true. They do that thing that you hate, though. They are going all the way across the country for back on that game.
I could see Jacksonville winning that game.
That is the biggest coin flip, maybe Minnesota, yeah. New York.
I guess I feel like the Chargers are a little more prepared for the moment because they barely missed out last year. I don't know. I might be just completely full of crap. Tune in next week to find out.
Looks like those are the picks for the week. WWE sold to Saudi Arabia, of all things. Georgia is your repeat national champions. And have you seen their schedule next year?
Yeah, they're already talking about them winning it all again.
Well, they're basically guaranteed. They're not losing more than one game. And if they lose one game next year, they're in the playoff, right? Because they're Georgia?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean. So I don't. Speaking of, to the Georgia fan that I am friends with, I don't want to hear one more word about Notre Dame. That's why everyone hates Notre Dame. You guys always cupcake schedule. We play 5 top 15 opponents next year, according to end of regular season rankings this year. Georgia plays like 1. I don't want to hear it anymore. Stupid. Well, we play the SEC.
Well,
if we schedule difficult opponents for ourselves, our independence doesn't really matter now, does it?
Well, I just don't want to hear there was one of the Georgia players acting like they were being disrespected this year. People thought we were going to go 5-6. I'm like, literally no one thought that.
I can appreciate, though, having to do what they got to do to hype themselves up.
Yeah, but
it's total nonsense. Have you ever, who was the Bears linebacker?
Complete bullcrap.
Have you heard those stories? I forget his name. He played in the 90s. He was famous for having that big old neck roll all the time. Wore number 93, I want to say.
For the Bears?
Yeah. Anyhow, he apparently infamously used to say that the way he'd hype himself up for games was that he would go meditate for about 2 to 3 hours on game day, and he would genuinely come up with scenarios and convince himself that they had happened, of opposing offensive players doing like unspeakable crimes to him or his family. I think it was Ronnie Brown talked about, he got Adalius Thomas, I think was the guy's name. Ronnie Brown got tackled by him once, and he got up and said, "That's for my sister." And Ronnie Brown was so confused. Yeah. Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
That's a little scary. Especially if, you know, let's be honest, we don't understand the brain all that well. So
when a 280-pound NFL linebacker is doing this, you have to worry. You have no choice. Well,
the interesting thing about that is take that same exact motion and take it off a football field and you're going to jail.
But yes, the fact that all this guy had to do was convince himself that people thought Georgia wouldn't win the national title.
I guess so.
You know, suddenly doesn't seem so bad now, does it?
See, at least say no one thought we were going to repeat. But don't come out and say people thought you were going to be 5-7.
You know what? Say whatever you want. Whatever. I don't care. Jalen Carter, though, had a bit of a quiet. So suddenly, you know, for Bears fans, suddenly we're all worried about all our draft prospects because they didn't play well in the national title game. Because that's the only game anyone watched, apparently. So we can end on that. Jalen Carter and Quentin Johnston, both busts confirmed because they had bad national title games.
That does it for us.
Yeah, you can catch us on YouTube, on Spotify. Maybe we'll have video next week on YouTube. Who knows? Or on svinews.com/podcasts. See you all next time.